I thank you, God, for most this amazing day, for the leaping greenly spirits of trees and a blue true dream of sky, and for everything which is natural, which is infinite, which is yes. Today we gather to bless a great yes. We bless the birthday of Andre and Ken's greenhouse.
Our story begins outside a building owned by Andre Zaleska and Ken Ward. It's a two-story wood frame structure situated along Bourne Street on the border of the Roslindale and Jamaica Plain neighborhoods in Boston. With lots of help from friends, Ken and Andre hope to transform this old, deteriorating building into a model of green, environmentally sustainable construction. But first, Reverend Terry Burke from the First Church Unitarian has to bless the work and banish evil spirits.
Everybody have candles?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Living wax.
Now we're going to start by blessing the exterior of the house. Bless this house. Bless those who work upon these walls. Keep them safe from harm. Bless their work so that it is strong and functional and earth-friendly. Bless this greenhouse as a beacon, a lighthouse shining in the night of selfishness, greed, and zombies. Bless this beacon guiding us home. Bless this house of light. Amen.
Amen.
What happened to me was that about 10 years ago, I became seriously worried about climate change. It was the same time I had my first child. And that has only increased. I come from a scientific family, so I follow the science pretty closely. Was realizing up until the point when Al Gore, you know, came out with An Inconvenient Truth, I was realizing that this is a horrible thing happening and it's so very unrecognized. And then all of a sudden it was like, you know, the bubble burst and everybody began to really acknowledge this. And it became clear to me that that's what I needed to do with my life, was work on climate change. But not being an experienced organizer, you know, I was kind of fumbling around for a while. And when I met Ken, that was, you know, kind of organized me a bit right there.
Sitting at a makeshift table between shelves of tools and the exposed wood frame walls of what she hopes will someday become the community room of this zero carbon demonstration home, Andre Zaleska describes the forces that urged her on towards a life dedicated to greener living. The daughter of a biologist and a landscape designer, she's been a teacher, writer, and translator. She currently works for the Washington, D.C.-based Institute of Policy Studies in the organization's Boston office as coordinator of the Forum Organizing Project. If plans work out, the building where she sits, 100 years old and a former neighborhood convenience store, will include solar and wind power, organic gardening, wastewater reuse, and as many recycled building materials as possible. Zaleska's partner, both in life and in the JP Greenhouse Project, is Ken Ward, a longtime environmental campaigner for organizations such as Greenpeace, New Jersey PERG, and 350.org. Ward loves to tinker. A boat the family calls the Funky Dory sits in the backyard as testament to Ward's fixer-upper spirit. In relation to city zoning, which sometimes becomes a blood sport in Boston, he says local building codes have not been a hindrance to the project.
Most of what we're doing fits within the existing building code, and the city is also in the process of revamping that code in any event, but there should be no problem.
Because I noticed in some of your literature that you're hoping to put up solar panels, which I know some other buildings in Jamaica Plain already have, and a wind turbine, I think, I noticed. Is that something that you need special permissions for or zoning for?
We might. depending on how high it is. And if you want it to be effective, it's got to be pretty high. Interestingly enough, the state has now evaluated how effective solar PV and wind has been in the last year, and wind in Boston doesn't turn out to be particularly effective. So if we take that guidance, we'll aim for solar. It'll be easier and work better.
Mm-hmm. Well, is it your intention that this house be off the grid or 95% off the grid? How does that work?
What's your intention?
I think that that the intention is to get as close, to be constantly moving incrementally closer to being self-sustaining. And we don't pretend that one can do that very easily on a low budget right off the bat. So the first thing that we're going to do is super insulate the house, keep as much energy as we can in, and then as money becomes available, we'll add solar, and we'll be, you know, improving our soil and doing all sorts of different methods. But I think it will be a gradual process.
Mm-hmm. In any event, we won't be off the grid because we want to be a power producer.
You want to sell energy back to NSTAR or whomever.
Exactly.
How does that work?
Well, if we can bring our solar use down low enough, and if we have enough PV or micro wind or whatever else we're going to do here, one of the things we're doing is setting it up so the kids will sit on a little bicycle with a generator and generate their own electricity for playing games with. But if there's anything left over after that, then it feeds back into the grid, and we sell it. And the one great thing about it is that we will tend to produce it when it's most needed elsewhere.
I also know that you intend to turn part of this building into a community space. What was the family decision-making process like when you sat? I imagine you sat down and said, "Okay, kids, we're going to have people here every day looking at our house, and we're just going to have to get used to, you know, that sort of living in a fishbowl, if you will." What was that like?
It's not difficult for any of us, really, and that's because we are kind of craving community and creating it where we can. Now, to the extent, what extent the building will be open absolutely every day, that's, you know, it's going to end up being up to us because you have to have some privacy. But we start out with the intention of having a public space, and this space is perfect because it used to be a corner store. It has that energy already, you know. It was a gathering place for the neighborhood, and I think it's asking to be turned back into that.
What has your neighbor's reaction been?
Incredibly enthusiastic. For one thing, the building's been abandoned for the last 4 years. That's the only place I've ever moved into where I say, "Well, we're moving into this building," and people hug you. So they're very grateful that something's being done. But they're getting really, I think, extremely interested and excited about the project, too. We've had a lot of people coming by today to take a tour. We have a lot of members who are on our email list. And it's a lot of fun.
Speaking of fun, Ward and Zaleska's three sons, Cuba, Simon, and Eli, will participate by taking charge of the zoological aspects of the project, such as worms and bees. What's your role in the building and showing off of this house? What do you think your job is?
I don't really know. The only thing I know so far is that I'm going to be in charge of the bees.
The bees? What does that mean?
We're going to have bees, a business thing.
Beehives, and you're going to be in charge of feeding them?
Don't really know. I just know I'm going to be in charge of the bees.
Each of the three boys has got one responsibility of working with our various farmers and experts. So Eli is working with our beekeepers, and Simon is in charge of worms. He's the worm wrangler, and Cuba is going to be helping to build a mobile chicken coop called the chicken tractor. Pick it up and move it around in the yard.
Is this part of a plan to also grow fruits and vegetables and sell that? Sort of like a corner store, or more part of demonstrating how families can fend for themselves and grow locally rather than depending on food that comes from thousands of miles away?
Yeah, I think mainly the second, because we're starting off trying to grow enough food for, you know, to provide our own vegetables year-round, and we hope to learn how to can and preserve food. That's, you know, the initial goal. There's a lot of land back there in our garden. We could be growing a lot of food, but I don't think we have any intention of making a business out of it. You know, it'd be more about sort of demonstrating that as we learn it.
So we have some more blessing to do, and we're going to be blessing, although they're all around us, we're going to be blessing Ken's tools, and specifically his saw. And we bless Ken's tools, and for the blessing, I'm using water that I brought back from the Jordan River. Now, near where I drew the water was a Nestle water bottling plant. While some take that which is sacred, water, and make it a commodity, Ken, you create with your tools the sacred out of daily life. As Dan Berrigan prays, O Lord, send us mystics with hands.
Take nothing evil across this door, and may ill fortune never pry.
Yesterday in Jamaica Plain at the Jamaica Plain Greenhouse, for an ongoing journal about the project and the people who are making it happen, go to the website jpgreenhouse.blogspot.com. This is Makes Wide Turns. I'm Dave Goodman.
The battering of the storm, this heart through all the world grows chill, will keep you warm. He shall walk soft.
Thanks again to Reverend Terry Burke and Andre Zaleska and Ken Ward and their son, Eli. Makes Wide Turns is a production of IBIS Radio, the independent broadcast information service.